And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindbaum, and I'm joined once again by Mr. Pink Ranger, Ben Taylor, drinking that coffee.
What up, nerds? How's everybody doing? I'm doing all right, Mike?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Yeah. I'm not crying in the fetal position yet. It's too early for it, probably.
That's because we haven't got the green with evil yet, but soon.
Will I be crying in the fetal position, or will you be crying in the fetal position?
I'm not the one that's got to produce those episodes.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, but well, today we're going to be doing Foul Play in the Sky, Dark Warrior, and Switching Places.
Yeah, dude.
Three
actually kind of interesting episodes. Not interesting insofar as they're good, but interesting because stuff happens, at least.
Yep.
Let me correct that. Foul Play in the Sky is actually quite a good episode, but for non-Ranger-related reasons.
Yep. And speaking of that one, we're going to start with Foul Play in the Sky with everyone's favorite segment, in my mind, the quick run-through of Foul Play in the Sky. As we start at the Angel Grove Airport, we see Kim meeting up with her Uncle Steve. But then we go right to the youth center as Zach is hitting on Angela and gets rejected. Rita plots against Kim and Damn Squat don't need the entire bottle. You don't need that entire bottle. Just a few drops. You're good to go. Overkill, my man. Bulk and Skull are plane watching. Bulk talks about how he wants to become a pilot one day. And Bulk and Skull spot Kim and go to her. And Uncle Steve not doing Kim any favors here, saying that they can join them for the flight. And off they go. And then Uncle Steve is pounding that soda that Squat put an entire bottle of potion into. Rita wants the Snizzard monster. But then back in the plane, we see Kim reflecting on the mountains and almost kind of blows her cover as a Power Ranger, but Steve is falling asleep and Bulk and Skull faint as a result. Rita sends the Snizzard, and Kim is trying to keep calm while piloting the plane. Alpha somehow helps Kim stabilize the plane, but before he can, he must summon the others. How does Alpha know how to fly a plane? I don't know. The Rangers take on the Snizzard, and Alpha called the Angel Grove Fire Department. What? And the Rangers are struggling mightily. Seriously, how does Alpha know how to fly a plane? Let alone land it. But anyways, they land the plane, Steve wakes up, and Kim just runs off and morphs into action, and Kim's bow to the rescue yet again, like it did the last episode. At the airport, Bulk and Skull are revived, and at the youth center, they arrive, and we see Jason and Zach having fun. And that is Foul Play in the Sky, which clocked in at 20 minutes and 16 seconds.
Cool. So my notes for Foul Play in the Sky, aka Bulk and Skull, are the only actual human beings in this show. That's my title for this episode.
Fairly accurate too. I mean, with
the very first thing you hear is paging Mrs. Fishblind. I bet she got bullied at school. So, Uncle Steve, and notice at all times here, I've put Uncle Steve in my notes in inverted commas because he. I don't want to say what he looks like because this is a PG-13 podcast, but he looks kind of like a sexual predator. Anyway, quote unquote, Uncle Steve taps his watch while Kim is on the phone as if he's to say, hurry up, I'm ready to go. But then is all like, hold on, I need to get maps. What a douchebag. Make up your mind, Uncle Steve. Cut to Jason hitting a punch bag. Some weird facials going on in that episode where he's hitting that bag. He's enjoying that a bit too much. And the punches don't look right. They don't look like you would regularly punch a punching bag. It just doesn't look right. Zach spots Angela, which is our first appearance of Angela. And Zach is always portrayed as the Lothario of the group, as I've pointed out in previous episodes. I think I pointed out in like this the first episode that I recorded solo. But he's really bad at talking to women. Like, really bad. And he gets shut down.
So what you're saying is that
hard.
So what you're saying is that I should not go to the Zach Taylor school of talking to women.
No. You shouldn't go to the Zach Taylor school of talking to women. You shouldn't go to the Zach Morris school of talking to women. In fact, if the words the Zach Ryder school of talking to women is right out. Like, just if it's Zach, ignore it. Right? So Squat ports down and spies quote unquote Uncle Steve's drink and spikes it with a sleeping potion. If only there was someone in the organization of Rita that looked, I don't know, vaguely human and a fairly attractive woman that could pass for human, that could teleport down, get a job at a juice bar, spike the Ranger's drink with a sleeping potion, put them all to sleep, and then have Rita destroy the Earth while they're asleep. If only that was a thing. Man, it's good job, Scorpina. Damn. Oh, well. So, Balkan Skull are plane watching. This is why I love this episode. I mean, I've made no qualms about the fact that I love Balkan Skull as the fact that they're just regular human beings, right? Everyone else on the show, not quite sure why I was trying to yawn there, but everyone else on the show is either a caricature turned up to 11 or an aspect of humanity turned up to 11. There aren't many other actual just human beings on the show. Bulk and Skull are like well-rounded human beings. They have flaws, they have benefits, and it's nice to just see Bulk sitting there nerding out about something. Just nerding out about loving planes, right? And to see that Skull's being supportive of him. I love it. It's a very important very important to see them that way, I think. So they see Kim going with quote-unquote Uncle Steve, and they run over and they ask if they can come, and Kim's trying to tell them no, but Uncle Steve's like, yeah, dude, the more the merrier. And that's cool. Uncle Steve's a good guy. Kim's an asshole. we go from having this really human Bulk and Skull moment to Bulk is too fat to fit in the plane. And it feels really out of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why do we have to do that? Another great Bulk and Skull moment. I'm saying that a lot in this episode, but I'm saying it for a reason, because there are a lot of cool Bulk and Skull episode moments in this episode. It's when they're up there and like Skull says, hey Bulk, aren't you afraid of flying? And Bulk goes, no, I'm afraid of crashing.
I mean, let's be honest, who isn't?
Yeah. The plane flies over the mountains that the command center is in. But you can't see the command center. Even though in later episodes, people can visually see the command center by being nearby.
Yep.
Then Kim has a flashback to the very first episode. Let me repeat that. Kim has a flashback in the 14th episode Because that's when we needed a flashback, right?
Yep.
Uncle Steve, quote unquote Uncle Steve, passes out from the sleeping potion. This is the kind of thing that gives kids nightmares. This is the kind of things that make kids scared of flying. And we are 8 minutes in at this point of, what did you say, 20 minutes and something?
16 seconds, yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of filler in this episode, right? There's lots of just like content that's neither good nor bad, nor needs any commentary at all. It's just there to fill air, right?
Yep.
And a lot of it is Kim trying to fly a plane, right? So Kim grips the controls and freaks out. Doesn't she fly a Zord?
But she's morphed.
That's arguably more complicated than a plane?
Well, let's be honest. When it comes to the Zords, they have the little hand grips.
Right.
That do the thing. And then they have like a joystick. They don't have 5 billion buttons and all that other stuff like a plane does.
Fun fact, to fly the plane, all she needs is the joystick. That really kind of set me out. I was like, she flies a plane. She flies a Zord. The last time I did an episode was for teamwork and pressing
high engagement. Five and yeah, right? Pressing engagement, yeah.
And in pressing engagement, she flies the Zord so well, she can strafe targets on the ground.
No, that was teamwork.
That teamwork?
Yeah, that was teamwork. That was the okay, second. That was the second.
It was one of the episodes. It was one of the three episodes in that episode we recorded. But she, and then all of a sudden here, she's like, I don't know if I can fly a plane. I'm like, woman, confidence in yourself. You have this skill set already. As for how Alpha knows how to fly a plane, let me introduce you to this thing called Google.
In 1993. Yes, I'm aware
it didn't exist in 1993. But computers did, as we saw from the command center. More filler, because Zordon just spends actual minutes, like full minutes of time, multiple minutes of time, telling us things we already knew. And then the rest of the Rangers, the other four Rangers, teleport in to fight the Snizzard around some Moe heads. I have a feeling someone didn't proof the Sentai footage very well. And then Trini says something about the apple on its head, right? Why does the air monster have an apple on its head? Is the Sentai version something more akin to Willy and Tell? Because we also get the apple shot off the head at the end. The finish?
Not 100% sure. I haven't seen that episode in quite some time.
I'm not worried because yeah. I don't really care about the Sentai. It's just, it's weird to me that a lizard would have an apple on its head. Earlier in the episode, Goldar says that Snizzard attacks using its leg cobras. When actually it vomits them. I'm not sure if it's just Goldar being an alien, but you don't vomit from your legs. It's not how that works. You know, not that's not how science works moment But we got a bigger one of those coming up next episode. Don't you worry, fans of science. And again, in yet another that's not how science works moment, the whole plane thing, it took 2 minutes for Kimberly to get the plane under control when Uncle Steve passed out, right? Any plane that hadn't had control for 2 minutes, be it autopilot or otherwise, would have face planted by that point, because the plane is front heavy.
Yep.
That is not how science works. Just... apparently Alpha told the airport what was going on, but yet they still don't know why the plane is emergency landing. Uncle Steve wakes up just after landing. Convenient. Stupid Uncle Steve. And Kim just bails. No one asks any questions. No one tries to stop her. No bureaucracy. No police. She just bails. She's like, peace, deuces, I'm out. And then... the Snizzard shows that it is our first monster that is able to actually summon putties. Right? Usually the putties show up with the monster. But here you actually see the Snizzard summon them, which is kind of cool. I think it's the first monster that does that. It's the only one I can think of to this point.
Off the top of my head, I think it is true.
More tonsil snakes, because that's not gross. I mean, come up with a different name for the thing, right? Like, I don't know. And then all it takes is one shot from a bow. No power weapons. No zords. The monster doesn't even grow. Just one shot with a power bow. That means power bow OP, please nerf. And at the end of the episode, Bulk and Skull get covered in milkshakes and everybody laughs at them. Who are the bullies again?
Yep. And if I remember correctly...
and it is worth pointing out that the Snizzard is voiced by Bryan Cranston.
Yep. And it should also be noted that I believe that this is the second out of the last three episodes where Kim's bow was the one to defeat the monster, or to play a major role in beating the monster.
Yeah.
So
they were really trying to push Kim at this point.
Yeah, because actually it was, because Foul Play in the Sky was the third one, because you had Peace, Love, and Woe be Billy's episode. And then as I go thumbing through my notes, Power Ranger Punks was two episodes before this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one where Kim's power bow was utilized for the victory against the monster in that one.
Right.
So
you have Peace, Love, and Woe, which is a Billy-centric episode.
Yep.
You have Power Ranger Punks, which is kind of Billy and Kim.
Yep.
And then you have...
let me thumb through. And then you have No Clowning Around, which was more of a Trini-centric episode.
And then you have this, which is a Kim-centric episode.
Yep.
And then we have Dark Warrior, which is a Billy-centric episode. And then we have Switching Places, which is a Billy and Kim episode. So of the last six episodes, only one of them hasn't been Billy or Kim-centric.
Yep.
Huh. How did I not pick up on that when watching it?
Yeah, because what was it? Because let's see here. No, that's much, much later. So Different Drum was kind of a Kim base a little bit. Food Fight was a full team.
Yeah.
Big Sisters was Kim in training. I Guy was kind of, you know, even though it was kind of a teamwork, it was Billy that was kind of like the key guy for that one. For Whom the Bell Trolls was Trini-centric. Happy Birthday, Zach, is obviously based off of Zach. It was around Zach.
Sounds like a Jason episode to me.
I know, totally. So, that's... Yeah,
let's move on to Dark Warrior, shall we?
Yeah, definitely. And then real quick, IMDb score for Foul Play in the Sky was a 7.3 out of 10. And it is now time to do Dark Warrior. And we're going to begin with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run-through of Dark Warrior. And we begin at a lab somewhere. A scientist makes his invisibility formula. But then we go right back to the youth center, where Trini awaits for her uncle. But while waiting, Bulk and Skull bully Billy, and Billy is going to re-enroll in Jason's karate class as a result. Rita wants a monster, so Finster makes the Dark Warrior. And then back at the youth center, Trini's uncle Howard arrives, and there's a lot of info about this uncle and his secret formula that Ernie just puts away at random. Goldar and the gang go to Howard's lab and steal something, and Squad and Babu start to feel sick because they decided to drink some random stuff that was in the lab. And Rita beats them for it. At the park, Howard and Billy train. Putties attack and Howard gets kidnapped. Why do the putties and Dark Warrior have so much TNT? That's a lot of dynamite there. Better yet, where did they get it all? Billy tells the others and they get a balloon message. They go to the command center where Zordon has been expecting them. And then they transport to the cave and putties attack. They save Howard when Billy uses his mental energy to stop the bomb. I can see Ben hardcore sighing on this one. They morph into action to fight Dark Warrior. Rita makes him grow. Zord time. And then Rita continuing a hostile work environment with the others. Billy gets his yellow belt. And Howard finds his invisibility formula and disposes of Bulk and Skull. Way to go, Uncle Howard. You're now a bully. And all this was for the total time of 19 minutes and 16 seconds.
It is worth noting that Dark Warrior and Switching Places, which we'll cover next,
yep,
were both episodes that were chosen to make the reversion of Power Rangers. Which was instead of the 60 episodes,
it was like 32.
It was 32. But what is worth noting is Dark Warrior, for example, is while it's episode 15 in Mighty Morphin season 1, it's actually episode 30 of the reversion. Which is interesting because this is where Billy learns to fight. So it's kind of like Billy doesn't know how to fight for all of the reversion season 1, even though he clearly fights in the anyway. Dark Warrior, aka the day science died in Power Rangers. We get to see the Radbug, right? Which is kind of cool.
Yep.
And you know what Radbug stands for? It's actually an acronym.
Oh, God. I can't remember the full acronym off the top of my head.
Uh-huh. It stands for Remote Activated Driving Zord for Basic Ultra Geomorphology.
That's apparently a mouthful.
Yeah.
It's a good thing it's called Radbug for short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also stupid. The very first spoken line in this episode is, "My invisibility formula is done." Just casually delivered. Dude might as well have been saying, "Well, dinner's ready."
I made that invisibility formula. Time for dinner.
Yeah. As if, like, oh, pizza's here. It's the same thing. Now, we've seen bizarre science before. Mainly the rad bug, to be honest. But we've seen bizarre science before.
Oh, yeah.
But at least the rad bug was based on Zord tech, right?
Yeah.
This is a normal human scientist with normal human resources making an invisibility potion. In future seasons, you're going to see things like atmosphere on the moon or a spaceship towing planets, but this, dear listeners, this is the moment where Power Rangers flip science to double bird, kicked open the door to its house, kicked its dog, ate its dinner, keyed its car, and had sex with its wife. This moment, right here, that is not how science works. Oh, also, it's clearly Billy's lab. Just lit differently. And then, literally 2 seconds later, the dude that just said, I just invented an invisibility formula, wonders where his plant's gone. Almost as if it's freaking invisible. So, Billy sits, admiring Jason's karate class, doing a kata, which, for some reason, Trini's just doing off to the side, trying to, like, copy it because she's bored or something. And she just wanders off mid-kata, doesn't see it through. She's just like, nah,
screw it. Got this.
Yeah, whatever. And then there's the bully segment with Bulk and Skull dumping him in a bin, proving that Bulk is, like, super strong, right?
Yeah.
And he laments getting picked on. Have you seen Billy's arms? He can bench press Skull. Billy's ripped. How is he getting bullied? Anyway. Trini says that her famous Uncle Howard, the famous Uncle Scientist, is coming to town, and that should cheer Billy up. And he actually confirms that it normally would. And he says he's going to re-enroll in Jason's karate class, but something to do with, as I mentioned before, when we were doing the one with the King Sphinx.
King Sphinx, that was pressing engagement.
When we recorded that, I mentioned that footage from this episode had been used in the pilot. So they had to record a little bit of ADR here to re-enroll rather than enroll. And it's a bit, and the ADR is a bit off. Sounds a bit weird. Cut back to, also, why did Billy stop going to the karate class? It makes him sound like a quitter.
Well, if you remember, he was actually in the karate class in Day of the Dumpster.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, he says he's going to re-enroll, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're not actually listening to me and just looking at your phone. Because I just mentioned the fact that he's in the karate class during Day of the Dumpster.
And so, like, he did that, and I think he, if I remember right, I think he did actually quit in that episode, the class, because he was getting the mental aspect of it, but he wasn't getting the physical.
He doesn't quit in that episode, though. He just, like, they start getting the mental episode, and then Bulk comes along, and Jason just embarrasses Bulk, and then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah.
It's never mentioned why Billy actually quits the class.
Yeah.
We cut to Billy crossed out to Uncle Howard's lab, and the genius scientist that invented an invisibility formula is putting it in an unlabeled mason jar.
Because when I create an invisibility formula, I think of the good old trusty mason jar.
After a scene of Rita and Cole on the moon demanding a monster, back in the juice bar, Jason's class finishes, and Jason and Trini says she can't wait for everyone to meet her uncle Howard, world famous scientist who just finished a secret formula. It's not that secret if your niece knows about it. And the very next line is Jason saying, isn't he also a world famous martial artist? So not only has this episode completely foobarred science, it contributes to this time problem, right? I talk about this a lot, and I think I mentioned it. I didn't mention it in the first set of episodes that we recorded together, but I definitely mentioned it in the pilot, or sorry, in Day of the Dumpster. And I'm going to mention it again as the season goes along. But there's this time problem in Power Rangers, right? Where the Rangers have to go to school, do homework, and homework to the point where they're actually like valedictorians. They're the best people in their classes. They have to train for martial arts, teach martial arts, do their gymnastics, do their charity work, do their social causes, do their moral causes. They go dirt bike riding. They do this, they do that, they do the other, and somehow they've still got to find sleep and be Power Rangers.
You okay, bud? You kind of ran out of breath. Yeah.
So now, bear in mind, we know that the Power Rangers are doing well in their classes because A, they get the highest class when we do. I think it's clean up. No, it's the Mantis episode where they're burying the time capsule.
Yeah.
They're said to have the best grades in the class. Also, it's been shown through episodes that if you don't do well in your grades, you get detention, because that's why Bulk and Skull are in detention a lot.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are never in detention. So it's shown that they're at least passing their classes, right? So,
yep.
Howard arrives and puts his mason jar just on the bar, unmarked.
Sure.
And he just forgets where it is. Wanders off. So Ernie, being the dutiful barman that he is, starts cleaning up and picks up this mason jar of what I believe is some form of glowing green liquid, and just puts it down behind the bar. That's not how food safety works. So Howard is introduced to the Rangers by Trini, and Billy spouts some absolute nonsense about body and mind. It's like the writers are trying to make Howard spouts the body and mind stuff to Billy. And it's like the writers are trying to make him sound like this wise, sage-like mentor, Mr. Miyagi kind of wax on, wax off, deep thought mentor, right?
Yep.
Which would work better if he hadn't just forgotten his mason jar that was unlabeled.
That Ernie put behind the bar.
Yeah. We're now one third of the way through the episode, which was how long did you say?
19 minutes and 16 seconds.
And we have seen the titular Dark Warrior for 3 exact seconds. And I know I mention this a lot, right? But in a show where it thrives, what made it thrive was the interaction between the Rangers and the putties, and the Rangers and the villains, and them fighting. There's a whole lot of not fighting happening in this episode. Rita charges the Dark Warrior, Squat and Babu, and Goldar with getting this invisibility formula. So naturally, only Squat, Babu, and Goldar show up. So they go to Uncle Howard's lab. Where did the Dark Warrior go? He teleported out with them. Did he just, like, I don't know, decide he wanted to go get some chicken McNuggets? He's just like, you guys get the invisibility potion. I'm going to go get a Wendy's triple. Maybe a Baconator, right? I'm in the mood for Taco Bell. Peace. And then when they teleport back, the Dark Warrior is all, it wasn't there. How would you know?
You weren't there.
At the lab. You were off seeing a matinee of Titanic. Cried at the end. Maybe called the Dark Warrior, but he's very sensitive. Billy and Howard are out walking, and after Howard shows Billy some martial arts move, the putties attack. Billy says, oh no, putties. Surely a man as wise and clever as Howard would clock this and go, what are putties and how do you know what they're called? Like, at which point it raises the question, how public are the names for these things? Because we know the Rangers have started to be covered on the news, right?
I think at this point it is kind of known what putties are, at least in Angel Grove, because it's, like as you said, it's been talked about on the news. They've openly named Rita on the news. So it's like, I think at this point...
But did they call them putties?
I can't remember if they did or did not, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they gone like, oh, Rita and her minions or something like that. And maybe because like you have had children involved in previous episodes with putty attacks, the kid, as I know one kid, especially in Big Sister, she ended up on the news and I think she did call them putties in that. So,
so the putties kidnap Uncle Howard. And Billy yells out, Uncle Howard, like it's his uncle. Why not yell out like Sensei or Howard or, well, crap. Like, anything that would make sense.
Well, poo.
Dark Warrior assures Rita he will get the formula and decides the best way to do this is by placing Uncle Howard in a cave full of TNT that will blow him up.
Where did they get all this TNT?
It's not that hard to manufacture if you know what you're doing. Also, Rita has magic.
Yeah.
And he decides that the best way to interrogate Uncle Howard is by using flashy eyes. Rita runs in to Ernie's to tell the crew about Uncle Howard. I seem to point this out every time we record an episode. Why are the Rangers running anywhere in an emergency? You have communicators and site-to-site teleportation capabilities.
Maybe it was just a beautiful day.
It's one of my favorite things about Lost Galaxy is when they took away the ability to teleport. And yes, there may be this whole thing about, oh, you can only teleport and use the communications for Ranger business, right? But the dude's been kidnapped by putties. That's Ranger business.
Yeah.
Jason then says, what would Rita want with Uncle Howard? At which point Trini says, I don't know. He's just a harmless old man. You know, other than the whole world famous scientist and martial artist that just finished the secret formula thing. Just a harmless old man. God damn it, Trini. You're useless. Then we get our actual first look at the Dark Warrior proper, right? It's such an imposing name. It's like the strength of Io and all this other stuff. And it's just like he's got this imposing name and this devious plan, and he decides the best way to deliver a message is with
balloons.
Party balloons. What is this monster's aesthetic? Like, come on, man. We are now halfway through the episode, which was what?
19 minutes and 16 seconds.
And we have seen the Dark Warrior for maybe 10 seconds total. Jason remembers they can teleport. Shock and horror. They head to the command center and Zordon says he's been expecting them. Means he's known what is happening and didn't tell them.
Yep.
Your uncle's invention has caused Rita to send one of her most evil plots ever. Her plan is to make the Power Rangers disappear forever. That's not a good plan. It would help the Power Rangers. Making them invisible helps them. You can't fight them if you can't see them. It's not she's trying to make them dead or wipe them out or kill them. She's just trying to make them invisible.
I can't see them. They're not a problem.
If I ignore them, maybe they'll go away. So we head into an unmorphed fight versus the putties. Some really nice development here as we're actually seeing Billy applying the lessons he's been given and actually beginning to, like, hold his own. One thing I've never understood is why punching putties sounds like you're hitting metal. They're called putties.
Yeah, those are some medley putties.
Some very sweaty putties as well. Very sweaty. Very sweaty.
So you want to know how the putties are actually formed in Sentai? Just,
no.
Just for fun?
Okay.
They actually form themselves out of clay and then they grow themselves.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting.
Okay. We are 12 minutes into a 19-minute episode, and the Dark Warrior has been on screen for 10 seconds, has yet to interact with the Power Rangers, let alone with a single Ranger, let alone the entire team. And yes, I am aware they are limited by the Sentai. Defusing the bomb involves disconnecting a single wire yet somehow Billy really needed to focus for that.
If I focus hard enough, it'll solve itself.
Yeah. Or just trust his brain that invented a flying car.
Yeah.
The Rangers morph and they fight the Dark Warrior finally, who has a sword, but has also previously unmentioned arm cannons. Rita makes him big. Zords happen. Dark Warrior becomes not alive anymore. The Rangers don't really break a sweat, to be honest. Billy earns his yellow belt. And it's just kind of, Bulk and Skull do things. And Uncle Howard uses the invisibility formula to beat them up. And this is the last we ever hear of this invisibility formula. Ever. You would think such a monumental thing would have far-reaching and knock-on effects. The Rangers would use it to their own effect very, very well. But it is never mentioned again. Ever.
And neither is Uncle Howard.
And neither is Uncle Howard. You know exactly what I was about to say. Even in future episodes where Trini is learning new martial arts, which could have been Uncle Howard. It is not Uncle Howard.
Nope.
But yeah, we never hear from that again.
Nope.
And that was my notes on the day that science dies in Power Rangers.
Which got a IMDb score of a 6.7.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
You're all liars.
And now with that, two down, one to go. Everyone's favorite segment in my mind, Switching Places, which begins with Squat is at Billy's garage and does some tinkering to a device. Reed is happy, and Goldar's voice. What is going on with your voice, bro? You might need to see a throat doctor or something like that.
Telling you, man, the voice changes in the early parts of the season really threw me.
Yeah, like Goldar, I think he really needs to see an ear, nose, throat doctor.
Yeah.
Like seriously.
Yeah. I need to get that looked at, buddy.
At Billy's garage, Billy and Kim go over his invention while Bulk and Skull are outside plotting. Billy and Kim, they test the machine, and what could go wrong? Some sparks and some switched bodies. Ah, yes. Some Freaky Friday fun. At the palace, Squat rubs a lamp and gets a genie monster. Bulk and Skull sneak into Billy's garage, and whoops, they switch bodies too. At school, Kim, who is now Billy at this point, and Billy, who is now Kim at this point, both struggle mightily. Kim Billy with the cheese souffle bomb, Billy Kim with the exploding computer. The others learn of the snafu and are dumbfounded. Zordon asks Alpha to send the Rangers to Angel Grove Park. They get the lamp and come to the command center. They then morph into action. Then they get sent to the genie monster, and then they are brought back to the command center. Okay. Rita makes the genie grow, Zord time, and they get the Megazord created, and Alpha is already freaking out. Zordon needs Alpha to destroy the lamp, and when he does, the genie disappears. Back at Billy's, Kim, Billy, fixes the machine, and they're back to normal, and Bulk and Skull want to be switched back too, which they do. And that was Switching Places, which clocked in at 20 minutes and 16 seconds.
That was Switching Places, a.k.a. the last episode of Power Rangers before it becomes the Tommy Oliver show for 25 years. Squat has access to Billy's house because Billy's lab's in his garage. Just murder him in his sleep. Solve the problem.
No more Billy.
No more Billy. If you can go in the garage, you can go in the house. If you can go in the house, you go in the bedroom. If you go in the bedroom, you can stab him while he's asleep. Just saying.
I mean, and not only that, but even before this, for Whom the Bell Trolls, I mean, we had Squat go into Trini's bedroom and steal the doll to turn it to a monster.
Yeah.
And we've also had... And we've also had another, I think it was Calamity Kimberly, which is, I think, a later episode, where Squat is, like, creepily outside of Kim's bedroom window.
Yeah. Yeah. We get more science slaughter, as Billy is apparently made a mind-reading machine in his garage. Also, the rat bug. Bulk and Skull take this perfectly in stride. They're not like, he did what? They're like, oh, yeah, that's normal.
It's Billy. It's what we expect from him. They do sciencey stuff.
Kim says more phenomenal. It sounds like Amy Jo Johnson is vomiting when she says the word. She must hate saying that.
Which is funny when you say that, because when we looked at earlier episodes like High Five and Teamwork and A Press Engagement, Kim says more phenomenal quite a bit and with no issues.
But, I just think she was getting tired of saying it at this point. It was like they were trying to make a catchphrase stick and it wasn't.
Well, not only that, but also at like this point too, she's trying to say it like the way, as if she was Billy.
Not yet, she's not.
Yeah, well, not yet, she's not, but she does eventually. And it's like a complete 180 from how it was at the beginning of the season.
So, is it me, or is one side of this machine perfectly sized for Kimberly? Like, one side is perfectly sized for Billy, and that makes sense, because it's Billy's machine, right? The other side fits Kimberly perfectly, like it was designed for her.
Yep. Billy has some naughty intentions, apparently.
Yeah. So, Billy flips the switch and all the sparks happen. And it is worth noting at this point, and you'll notice this later, that when they go back, there's much less sparking. Because when they were filming this, Amy Jo Johnson and David Yost actually got caught on fire.
Yep.
And it is why you will see Kim not be involved in as many special effects shots going forward in the season.
Yep.
There's a lot of... So as they flip the switch... Bulk and Skull were getting chased by a dog. So how do they know how to operate the machine?
There's a switch. Just flip it.
Billy and Kim switch minds. So why does Kim now need glasses?
I don't know. Does the brain affect the vision? Nope. No. No. I don't know.
None of that works.
No.
Nope. One might say... That's not how science works. Okay. I get them having problems living each other's lives, right? And I can understand things like Billy not understanding how to put on lipstick properly.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a few things that don't track. Like, why is Billy Kim putting on makeup at school and not at home where there's makeup remover? Or for all of its facilities and its ability to run charity drive after charity drive and its ability to have so many dances and yearbook things. How does Angel Grove High not have a dedicated home economics classroom? because it's the normal classroom set, just with a microwave in it.
Yeah, because I remember in middle school when I took home ec, we had an oven, a stove, microwave, all that stuff.
Why is Kim Billy teaching the class? There is a teacher stood right there.
Maybe that was her day to do a presentation of how to make something, maybe.
Also, you cannot get that kind of rise from a souffle in a microwave. It's not how science works. Also, a simple key input on a machine, on a keyboard, would not cause your monitor to explode. That's not how computers work.
But at least Billy looks snappy.
That's true. That's true. And here's the core central problem with the episode, right? It's supposed to be like a Freaky Friday episode, right? But the reason Freaky Friday worked is the mom and the kid didn't see things eye to eye. They didn't like each other. The whole point about these episodes is to have you learn something about the other person's point of view. That's the whole point of body swap stories, right?
Yep.
The problem is Billy and Kim are already friends. They already like each other. They already hang out together. They already see each other's point of view on things. So nothing's gained by this episode, right? If, like, Kim and Skull had switched places, that would have been very different.
Yep.
Right? Or Billy and Bulk. But, eh. So the plan to send Babu and Squat down with the lamp makes no sense. The idea of sending them down with just the lamp and not sending the genie down is that Zordon doesn't detect the genie. But he detects the lamp. So what's the point? And he's going to detect Squat and Babu.
Womp womp.
Amy Jo Johnson clearly has a bit of a problem with the more verbose dialogue that is usually written for Billy. But David Yost is cutting loose with Kim's snark.
Well, and that's
like, he's having a lot of fun with that.
I've noted this in like previous previous episodes that like especially focus on Kim and stuff. Amy Jo Johnson can really throw the sass around. Mm-hmm. She does it so good. And then, like, to see David Yost get to throw that sass out as well, it was just like, it was like icing on the cake in a way, you know, yeah, when you saw it.
Then we have a morphing sequence in which, what was the question I asked earlier? Why does Kim need glasses?
Yeah.
Apparently she doesn't, because Billy's still wearing the glasses in the morphing sequence. It's just the stock morphing sequence.
Yeah, exactly.
They teleport to the putties. They throw like three kicks. They teleport to the monster. They get webbed. They teleport to the command center, all within 30 seconds of each other.
Not a good time with the monster, is it?
Yep. Correct. Combine your powers and the genie cannot defeat you. Isn't that just the Megazord?
Pretty much, yeah.
Or the power weapons?
Either or.
So both Dark Warrior and the episode we're going to be talking about next, Switching Places.
You mean talking now, Switching Places?
Sorry. We talked about before Dark Warrior and now Switching Places. My brain's gone. I'm still trying to figure out how science works. Feature what I call pre-defeat growth. usually the when the Power Rangers, they fight a monster, they beat it up, then Rita makes it grow, right? That's the kind of standard progression. Whereas in both these cases, Rita makes the monster grow when the monster is winning.
Yep.
The Lamp Alpha, you must destroy it quickly. Then the very next line is, not so fast, Alpha.
Give the Rangers a chance to beat this thing.
Make up your mind, Zordon.
I need an adult. I need an adult.
Jason barks a whole lot of stuff about rewriting Power, Megazord something or other. And he's using a lot of technical terms that should be Billy's department. Instead of just looking at Billy and going, fix it! So the Rangers and the Megazord were wiped out by paper streamers. It's like that time Voyager was nearly defeated by cheese. So every time the action cuts back and forth from the command center, the drill footage is looped. It's quite interesting. So for all the talk of how Zordon's like, work together and the genie cannot defeat you, what he meant was work together and be a distraction. Because the Rangers actually have nothing to do with the defeat of the genie. They're just distracting it while Alpha blows up the lamp.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I would like to point out, for the second episode in a row, we have a universe-altering technology in a mind swap device. And guess how often it's brought up?
Not all.
It is never brought up again. Ever. Even when it would be absolutely useful to use it. There's no things like Billy being not used to piloting the pterodactyl Zord, or Kim not being used to piloting the Triceratops. There's nothing interesting that comes out of this. As I've mentioned before, the Freaky Friday thing really didn't apply because the characters already liked each other and saw each other's point of view. There's no interruption in fighting style. There's no anything. I don't know what Rita was trying to accomplish here, right? Other than make Amy Jo Johnson put glasses on
and screw up her makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's my thoughts on Switching Places,
Which got an IMDb score of a 7.0.
Rose tinted glasses coming into play.
To be brutally honest, we can't really see when these reviews were and stuff like that. So I don't know if the one where we saw one where it was like a user wrote one where it was 10 out of 10. Yeah. If that was fairly recent, those are definitely through rose tinted glasses. So with that, Miss the Pink Ranger, where can the people find you on the social media?
You can find me on the Twitters at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me every 2 weeks over at
txhdhockey.com/awesomemania.
Doing Voices from the Grid's sister show, where Mike and I talk all about the goings on in the wide, wacky world of professional wrestling.
Yep.
You can also find the column I write every 2 weeks on a Monday over at
txhdhockey.com/VFTG,
where I am chronicling my thoughts on each season of Power Rangers. I've only really been watching Power Rangers at the time of recording for about 13 months, and I've made my way through to about a quarter of the way through SPD right now. So what I'm doing is I'm releasing every 2 weeks a column that is my thoughts on a season. And not going to lie to you all, these episodes are pre-recorded, and I'm not sure when they're going to release, so I couldn't tell you which column is next, or if they're all out, or if I've gotten to Super Mega Force and Rage Quit. Though I've been assured that that may happen at Operation Overdrive.
Or was Samurai...
Well, no, because Samurai's after Operation Overdrive, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
We believe in you, Ben. We believe in you.
I believe I can do it. Even if it's just trash it in a column. And then you can find me doing the video game thing over at...
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Where me and my good and dear friend, Jordan, Mr. NNJ Johnson, do the video games at various times. We don't have a set schedule right now, but we announce everything we do on Twitter. So follow us there if you're interested. And we have guests there, like every Tuesday night we do WoW, where Jordan and I play with my wife and we're leveling characters together. And I know Jordan does some Star Trek Online and some Diablo and some I think he did some Civ the other day. So yeah.
Yep.
That's me.
And you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course everything for me on the website at txhdhockey.com, and of course for the show specifically, VFTG. So that's where you can find me. So Ben, Mr. Pink, take us out.
Okay, so it is me, Ben Taylor, saying, guys, gals, non-aligned pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And until our next episode, grab your morphers and may the power protect you.
Peace!